إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، it's always a pleasure to welcome all of you in our classes. Tonight, we will continue reading from Taysir al-Allam, the explanation of Umdat al-Ahkam, from the section that deals with Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, and fasting in the month of Ramadan. And as you know, Islam is a religion that is based on knowledge. Islam, which is the religion of Allah, and that's that which He accepts from the people, this beautiful religion of Islam guarantees for us joy, happiness, peace of mind, tranquility in this life, and the greater reward in the hereafter. But if we put forth some time to learn Islam, and right after the Salah, somebody approached me and gave me a very beautiful news, very good news, that Allah has guided one brother to Islam. I'm coming to that. Our brother Timothy, he's with us over there. Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah. May Allah keep you firm upon Islam. Amen. And all of us. Amen. We welcome you. And we thank Allah for opening your hearts to Islam.
Amen.
Allah wants good for you, you know.
Amen.
So, alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to keep you firm upon Islam. Islam will make your life easier and better. But we have to learn. We just have to put some time towards learning. And that's what we're doing here. We're trying to learn from the proper sources. The Book of Allah, the Quran, and the teachings of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no room for additions, subtractions, innovations. This religion is complete and perfect. All we need to do is to follow, to find some time to learn, to apply in the best of our abilities. Things we don't know, we learn. If we cannot get it right today, we try tomorrow. That's what Allah wants from us, to try with sincerity. Not just any try, with sincerity. We pay attention, we have determination. And then, inshallah ta'ala, tawfiq and success is from Allah. Our brother Timothy, we're going to be talking about certain things tonight. If you don't understand everything, we will break it down later on, okay? So, but this is about Ramadan. Maybe you heard about Ramadan before? Okay, so when we fast, the Muslims, they fast. They don't eat, they don't drink. And if they married, they don't enjoy their wives from dawn until sunset. But they can do all that in the night, okay? And there is a lot of benefits in fasting. It's very healthy. And also has so many benefits, social benefits, because many of us, we don't pay attention to the great favors that we enjoy, the food, the drink. Some of us even waste, and we don't even pay attention to that. But Ramadan, when we fast and we get hungry and thirsty only because we keep our eyes on the clock, because at Maghrib, sunset, we're going to eat. Now, while you're hungry and thirsty, you remember so many people all over the world that they're hungry and thirsty. not just person, him, his wife, his parents, his grandparents, children, the whole tribe, and they don't know what they're going to eat. See, that's the difference. We fast, but our eyes is on the clock. And we prepare our wives, cook our mothers, the food is all over the place. But those people who are struggling and going through some hardship and difficulty, so we feel what they feel in every day and nights, so that we can try to help them. If we know where they are, we help them. We provide them with food. We assist them. That's the reason for fasting. It's not just to be hungry and thirsty, but to know that there are some people who that's what they do every day, not just at night. And we help them and we assist them. If we can't help them financially, we make dua, we supplicate, and we say, "Oh Allah, have mercy on them." And he is the most merciful. He is the most merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're still going to continue reading from the chapter of Babu As-Sawmi fi As-Safar, fasting while on a journey. Because we're human beings, we travel sometimes. So what to do? Do you fast? You don't fast while you're traveling. We mentioned in the previous class that from the narrations of the Prophet ﷺ, a summary that those who are traveling, they've been given a choice whether to fast or not to fast. But if they choose not to fast, they should remember the exact days they didn't fast in Ramadan to make them up later on. They have a whole year to make up those days, one day or two or three. But if somebody wanted to fast, they can fast. It's okay. However, if fasting while on a journey becomes very difficult, it's for that person to break the fast. Because this religion of Islam is a religion of easiness, of mercy. Allah doesn't put no hardship on us. We do put hardship on ourselves because we don't want to learn what is easy for us. As in a dunya, in a life, there is shortcuts. Alright? But some people go all the way around. Alright? And get stuck in the traffic. Maybe get a ticket. Spend a lot of time. But because they don't know the shortcut. But somebody who knows the shortcut, why? Because they know it. See, knowledge makes the difference. Likewise, this beautiful religion of Islam is easy. Allah has made everything easy for us. But because we don't learn, that's what we put ourselves in hardship and difficulty, because we don't know that there is an easier way. Al-Hadith al-Khamis with 80 ba'd al-mi'ah. The Hadith 185 in Umdat al-Ahkam. An Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu qal, kunna ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi safarin, faminna as-sa'im wa minna al-muftir. قال فنزلنا منزلا في يوم حار وأكثرنا ظلا صاحب الكساء ومنا من يتقي الشمس بيده قال فسقط الصوم وقام المفطرون فضربوا الأبنية وسقوا الركاب فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذهب المفطرون اليوم بالأجر. Another narration on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, we were with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a journey. And as we mentioned before, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a humble man, very modest. He wasn't arrogant like some rulers these days. Not even a ruler, a manager, a supervisor, you can't talk to them anymore. Some people, he's just a normal guy. As soon as they tell him, you're the supervisor, he can't even talk to the people anymore. Now, I'm not like you guys. I'm a supervisor, right? Can't even say hi or nothing. La. This is the best of mankind. The Prophet and a Messenger of Allah, he was so nice and kind, merciful, gentle, easy, lenient, humble, modest. And he used to spend a lot of time with his companions. And he used to travel with them. He doesn't travel by himself, or they over there, he's over there. with bodyguard now. He's with them. He eats what they eat. He sleeps with them and everything. He's modest. So he says, one, we were with him on a journey, and it was in Ramadan. So this companion, this noble companion, says, as for the companions, some of us were fasting, some were not. Okay? He said, and it was a very hot day, extremely hot. So he said, we camped in this place, still in daylight. Not night yet, still in daylight. He says, we camp in this area and we're looking for shade. And remember, at the time, it's a desert. They go into the deserts. He says, the one who really has some shade amongst us is the one who has a large cloak. Because that one, he says, as the Sheikh is going to mention later on, he's going to like put it on a stick or something so he can get some shade. Subhanallah. Look what they went through. We have air conditioning running. Allah musta'an. And they achieve a lot of things with all this hardship. And Allah has made a lot of things easier for us, and we still... What are our achievements? This is the question. He says, so much so that some of us, he says, they don't even have a large clothing so that they can, a piece of it, put it on their head. He said they just put their hands on their heads to protect themselves from the heat of the sun. He says, as soon as we get to that area for camping, you know, for rest, okay, he says, those who are fasting, they lay on the ground. Can't do anything. As soon as the Prophet ﷺ says, we're stopping for here, okay? He said, those who are fasting, they exhausted. They lay on the ground. He said, those amongst us who are not fasting, we have energy, alhamdulillah. We're the one that set up the camp, the tents. We feed the animals, give water for the animals and the like. SubhanAllah. Then the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he says, those who were not fasting today, they took the reward. Allah, he praised them, the Prophet says. Al-Ma'na al-Ijmali, the general meaning of this hadith, this narration. Qala Shaykh Abdullah al-Bassam, rahimahullah. Kana as-sahabatu ma'a an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi ahadi asfarihi. The companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were with him. They were with him. They were with him. And they were with him on a journey. فَبَعْضُهُمْ مُفْتِرْ وَبَعْضُهُمْ صَائِمْ. Some of them, they were fasting. Some others, they were not. Actually, I should start with the muftir first. So just for those who wants to learn, I got to give accurate translation, okay? So here he says, some of them, they were not fasting, while others, they were fasting. Okay? And this is Ramadan. This is not Monday or Thursday. Okay? وَالنَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُقِرُّ كُلًّا مِنْهُمْ عَلَى حَالِهِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم accepted from both parties. Those who are fasting, even those in a journey is hot, he didn't tell them why you're fasting. And those who didn't fast, he didn't tell them. The Prophet ﷺ didn't tell them why you're not fasting. The Prophet ﷺ accepted from both parties their choices.
ولا شوف يا جماعة هات هات هادو هنا وخلي هذا مفتوح إن شاء الله خليه مفتوح خليه جزاك الله.
فنزلوا في يوم حار ليستريحوا من عناء السفر وحر الهاجرة. The Sheikh says, as they were on a journey, remember, no planes, no cars then, no buses. So they used to travel on foot. Some of them, mashallah, they managed to have a ride, a camel. Okay? So, as they were journeying, the Prophet ﷺ told them to stop for some rest. And he was in Al-Hajira at the time when it's extremely hot, by Dhuhr time. So we're going to stop for some rest. وَكَانُوا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ مُتَقَشِّفِينَ لَا يَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مَا يُذِلُّهُمْ مِنَ الشَّمْسِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَدَعَ يَدَهُ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ أَوْ أَنْ يَدَعَ كِسَاءَهُ فَوْقَ عُودٍ أَوْ شَجَرَةٍ فَيَسْتَظِلَّ بِهِ الله أكبر. And the companions, because these are the best of the people, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for His messenger the best of the people. But they were abstinence from luxury, from indulging in luxury. They were ascetic. They didn't give much importance to luxury. And so much so that, look, just what they wear, they don't even have extra clothing on them that they will put on their heads. La ilaha illallah. They don't even have some extra clothing that they can put on their heads to protect themselves from the sun, from the heat of the sun. Most of them, they have no other thing except to put their own hands on their heads. That's all they can. Or some of them, those who may have an extra piece of clothing, they will put it on a stick when they stopped, or on a branch of a tree to get some shade. And this, in this point, ya akhwan, it reminds us to thank Allah for His favors upon us. We have closets full of clothing. Subhanallah. We have, subhanallah, we enjoy a lot of luxury. And we have to thank Allah. Instead to be and grateful and thankful and look at, so I don't have enough. What do you mean you don't have enough? You have closets full of clothing. Still you want to buy more? Do better with that money. You want to spend? Spend it in the way of Allah. There is a widow, an orphan, a mother of three or four, she's struggling, a brother who's struggling, especially in a hard economy, hard times like these times, when the people, they cut their hours, some they lose their job, some they have their own business, but they're really struggling. Even he has a business, but they're struggling. So these are the people, instead to buy an extra pair of shoes for $70, and you already have like 25 pair of them. No, that's $70, put it when he give you more benefits. Put it in the hand of that brother who's struggling because they cut his hours, or that woman that her husband died, or she's a single sister. That's how we look at things. فلما نزلوا في هذه الهاجرة سقط الصائمون من الحر والظما فلم يستطيعوا العمل. He says, when they went there for rest, those who were fasting, they lay down. Because of extreme heat, and they were thirsty, they couldn't do anything. Because these are companions. They help. All of them work together. And that's what we learn from them. That we as a Muslims, as a community, we work together. If there is any work that needs to be done, we're supposed to be there. Aynam. We're supposed to make ourselves available. Somebody moving, we make ourselves available. It's sad sometimes, one of us is moving and only two people show up. Then that brother, and those who show up, usually one of them is an older brother. And then what is the rest of the community? We have to make ourselves available. So that person has to hire some people now. Have to pay some Mexicans or whatever, I don't know. Or some other people. Have to pay them so they can move. No, ya akhwan, the companions, they used to work together. When you travel, for example, 6 people traveling together, 20, 25. You stay together as the companion, they stay together. And you work together. You eat together. You help one another. Not once we get what we want and they split. Everybody go away. You can even find them. No, you stay together, help one another. If somebody is in need, his brothers are there. That's what the companion. But this, in this case, those who were fasting, they were exhausted. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything. So what happened now? Those who were not fasting, they did everything. But they didn't tell them why. Get up. I didn't tell you to fast. See? Now that's us, some of us. Can you imagine if 10 people, 10 of us are traveling and 5 were fasting and 5 were not, and those who choose to fast, it was extremely hot and they're like, Akhi Allah, headache and thirsty. Can no energy. Can I lay down? Don't lay down. I didn't tell you to fast. Now your bag's gonna stay right there. No. You take care of them. That's what Islam teaches us. These are your brothers. They are upon ibadah. It's not like they're not fasting and they're lazy. No, they're upon ibadah. They're fasting because that's an ibadah, an act of worship. Make it easy for them. Take it easy for them. Ayna'am. So he says, قام المفطرون فضربوا الأبنية بنصب الخيام والأخوية وسقوا الإبل وخدموا إخوانهم الصائمين الله أكبر. So those who were not fasting that day, they have energy because they ate, they drink some water, they have energy, alhamdulillah, they're not thirsty. So they took care of the camp. They set up whatever need to be set up. If they have tents, they said abniya, they have tents or they have anything, they set it up for their brother, not just for themselves, for the whole camp, for everybody. They give to drink to all animals. They ain't just like, look, those who are fasting, we don't care. They take care of them. Not everybody. All the animals, they take care of all of the camels and the animals. And they attend and they were in the service of their brothers. See? That's Islam. And we are commanded to follow their example. And we do it, and whatever we do it to please Allah. We don't do it for this guy or the other guy. If he wants to do things for people, it's going to be difficult. Because sometimes people give us hard time. You might travel with certain people and you look around, you're like, oh, that's the one. Yeah. Okay, I'll show you. Because people, we do things. We do things that sometimes we don't even pay attention. But see, Islam teach us that we do things for Allah. Even if a person said something about you, you're going to take care of them. If he's sick, you visit him. If he's in need, you help him. And you're not doing it just for him, doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we look at, who is he? Are we collecting some money for this brother, mashallah? Who is he? Name? Oh yeah, no. Don't want to give it, why? Because you have some issue with him like 6 years ago. 6 years was not enough for you to forget? Subhanallah, what brotherhood is this? You say he's your brother in Islam. 6 years, you still didn't forget one incident? Yeah, subhanallah, we need to forget and forgive. That's what Islam teaches. Because we're all human. We wrong ourselves. We fall short. We're weak. We're deficient. And we would love for the people to forgive us, so let us forgive others as well. فَلَمَّا رَأَى النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِعْلَهُمْ وَمَا قَامُوا بِهِ مِنْ خِدْمَةِ الْجَيْشِ شَجَّعَهُمْ وَبَيَّنَ فَضْلَهُمْ وَقَالَ ذَهَبَ الْمُفْطِرُونَ الْيَوْمَ بِالْأَجْرِ. So when the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saw what happened, saw that those who were not fasting that day, they took care of everybody else. And they're the one that stood up and took care of the what need to be done. The Prophet ﷺ highlight their virtue. He encouraged them actually. There was an encouragement for them for what they did from the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, and he highlighted the virtue of their actions by saying, ذهب المفطرون اليوم بالأجر. Those who are not fasting today, they took the reward. SubhanAllah. So we learn from this that you do things for the sake of Allah. If He wants the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't take a part for a group over another group. They are not our people. What do you mean it's not your people? Based on what? Based on color, or based on citizenship, or based on dialect, or what? Now they're your people. Naam. If you do it for Allah, doesn't matter who's in front of you, who you doing it for. And you don't even want to ask who is for. If, for example, if you're right now somebody say, look, Ikhwan, we need some donations for this family. It's not of our business. It's like, well, who's this family? It's just do it for Allah. Who's the family? How many of them? No. We don't ask these questions. We just give. Everybody give. And also, whatever we give, it has to be in accordance to the need of the family. Sometimes we hear, look, family Akhwan, they're in the street. Family of seven. They have not. They don't have a place to stay, no food, nothing. And they need money for first month of rent and this and that. And then we collect $35 for them. Come on. Can you imagine you in that situation? And you were like, alhamdulillah, announcement made. Yes, somebody already has text. Okay, they made announcement. Alhamdulillah. The imam made announcements. It's okay. They bring in money. They collecting. And then later on, he's like, he opened the envelope, $35. That's, would you or me will be satisfied with that? We have to be. Now, this man and his family, now we give some real money. The same way we want other people to give some real money for us. And whatever you give is for yourself. And Allah will give it you back in and more. And more. Naam. But it needs tawakkul. That's the difference. The perfect reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who rely on Allah, they give things because they understand clearly when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever you spend, Allah will multiply it for you. Allah will multiply it for you. Those who have firm belief which produce perfect reliance on Allah, they give. Because they know Allah's promise is true. But those who they still have to work on this topic, still have a lot of work to do, and understanding the reliance on Allah, they be doing the math. If I give this, I'm going to be this, nah. But those who they know, really they understand this concept of tawakkul on Allah, they give more than they, and then because they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of them. ما يؤخذ من الحديث. What are some of the benefits from this hadith? أولا جواز الإفطار والصيام في السفر لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أقر كلا على ما هو عليه. Once again, this benefit was repeated in every narration. The permissibility of fasting or not while on a journey. In Ramadan, if you're traveling in Ramadan, you have a choice to fast or not. Regardless if it's difficult for you or you're comfortable, the journey is comfortable or difficult, you have this choice. You want to break the fast, it's okay. You want to fast, it's okay. Why? Once again, look, there is a reason. There is a proof. Because this happened in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and some of the companions, they were fasting, some they were not. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accepted from both parties. Thanian, ما كان عليه الصحابة رضي الله عنهم من رقة الحال في الدنيا ومع ذلك لم تمنعهم رقة الحال من ارتكاب الصعاب في الجهاد في سبيل الله تعالى. This hadith highlight for us the conditions of the companions. They were modest and humble. They didn't care much about this dunya and the luxury of this dunya. they took from it the necessary things that they need. And even though they were, many of them, they were poor and abstinent, these did not keep them away from going through hardships for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told them, we're moving, we're going here. They don't even have a ride. They know that they're going to be walking for weeks and months on foot in a desert. They go, doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now sometimes you tell people, let's go here, couple hours to take care of something, some job to help somebody. The car is available, the driver is available. All he has to do is jump in the back seat, and they're going to take care of him. They bring a cooler full of beverages, snacks. They're going to buy him a pizza when they get there, lunch. Still someone is like, go ahead. You go ahead. Yes, subhanAllah. But the companions, they didn't have rides. In no stores in a way, rest areas in a way like we have now in many highways. But whenever the call is made for the sake of Allah, they're the first ones. Likewise, we have to stand for Islam. We want many people to see what Islam is through our action, through what we do for each other's, for our parents, even if they are not Muslims, for our neighbors. Naam. That's how people, they're going to know about Islam. We're just going to wait until somebody come to us. Now we have to reach the people, but through our actions as well. Because as they say, actions speak louder than words. We can talk all we want, but where is the actions? Now the people, our neighbors, our family who are non-Muslims, people we work with, they work for us, we work for them. They should see the difference in our lives. They should. And Islam should make a difference in our lives, as it did in the lives of many people before us. Read the history. But it takes sincerity. We have to apply this deen of Allah. Not just here in a mosque, we're all nice to. No, everywhere in a parking lot we practice Islam. We practice it in a mall. While we're shopping, while we're working, while we're driving. Naam, we practice Islam. In our homes, with our family members, whether they're Muslims or non-Muslims. You practice Islam and its principle with those who are nice to you and those who are not nice to you. Oh, those who are nice to you are Islam. Those who are not nice, you're going to go back and do it your way? No, you're still going to do it the way of Islam. That's what makes the difference. The way we treat the elderly. And with respect. And the way we show mercy to the young ones. The way we treat our wives with respect and with kindness. And we take care of them, our children. We respect our parents. The way we show mercy to the needy, to the poor, destitute, and those who are in need. The way we feel, we have the feeling for those who are going through hardship. If we cannot help them physically, the least we feel it in our hearts, what they're going through, the hardship they're going through. That's what Islam teaches us. But we have to apply it in our lives. It's not like what's in it for me. No. What's in it for the community? For the people? And the Prophet ﷺ, he says, you won't believe unless your love for others were your love for yourself. ثالثاً فضل خدمة الإخوان والأهل وأنها من الدين ومن الرجولة التي سبقنا فيها صفوة هذه الأمة خلافاً لفعل كثير من المترفعين والمتكبرين. الله says the virtue and the merits of being in the service of others, of your brothers and your family, to attend to their needs. This is a virtue in Islam. To serve others and to help them and to attend to their needs and to be there for them when they need you. This is from the virtue, from the beautiful things and the most virtuous things in Islam. And it is from deen. Naam, to help others and to take care of others. It is from the religion. That shows that the person really operates upon the religion. And it is from manhood. Real men do this. Real men take care of other people. Help them and assist them. That's a real man. Not a real man is the one who sits back and has an entourage and let everybody bring him everything. No, the real man is the one who get up and prepare for his brothers and show concern for the people around him, whether they are brothers or family members and the like. Have concern for them. He wants good for them. That's a real man. And this manhood and all of these virtue and merits, subhanAllah, the best of this ummah, they beat us to all of this. As opposed to some arrogant people, they think they are the real man. He's arrogant, sitting in a chair and big sofa, and he has people working for him. No, you're going to make yourself available. Whenever you go, what can I do? But if the people tell you no, just sit. If you are invited in someone's house, you don't be jumping all over the place. Then he turns, he finds you in the kitchen. No, you got to respect the people's homes. See, you got to understand this correctly. You know, it's like you're inviting somebody's house, he puts you in the living room, he went to somewhere, he don't find you. He hears the vacuum. Now you're running the vacuum, I don't know, in some bedroom. No, you don't do this thing. And you're like, he's like, "Akhi, what are you doing?" Abu Muhammad says, "I didn't say that. I did not say that." Right, Abdul Qadir? Now, what we're saying that if you're in a group somewhere, you work. If, for example, the Imam of the Masjid made an announcement, or the Mudir, or somebody says, "Look, we need to clear the other area, sweep it, vacuum it," because we need to be the first people in there. Even they may need only 5 or 10 people, but 50 people should be in there, racing one another, who's going to do it? Not fighting, okay? That's the way. Not like everybody go in his car and leave like we didn't hear it. Like that was Chinese speech to us who don't know Spanish, okay? Or Chinese. Both. No, it's very important, Ikhwan, to be at the service of your brothers and at your family too. That's why you understand now the narration. Aisha radiallahu anha, she was asked, "What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this man who is very busy, he has great responsibilities, he is a prophet, a messenger, he has to convey the message to all people, the Arabs and non-Arabs, the black and white, the rich and the poor, men and women, the kings and the slaves, those who are in his area and those who are whatever they may be, and he is a leader, an imam, and still, with all of these responsibilities," when she was asked, what he used to do when he comes in home, she said he used to help his wives. Allahu Akbar. He helped them. So now if me, or any of you brother, I'm going to speak about myself. If somebody wants to sign on my list, I invite you to do so. But if I go home and I just sit, where is the food? Why this is not clean? Why this is not this? Okay, I'm applying the hadith? Am I really helping my wife? I'm getting in her way. No. Of course, you may be very tired from work, exhausted. Nah, the wife too, she'll take care of that husband. As soon as he comes in, she knows her man's job. What does he do? It's not like she's been with the man for 5 years or more. She don't even know what he do. That's a terrible mistake. She know what her man been doing out. He's working hard, construction, he's a driver, whatever. She knows this man, he has a hard job, stress. As soon as he came in the house, she knows when he comes. He's coming at 5. 4:30 she prepared herself. That's a believing woman. And that's what Islam teaches us. She make herself ready physically and mentally. Mentally, she's like, "Look, he's coming. This is my way to the Jannah. I was commanded to take care of this man. Not any other man, this husband of mine. This is my way to the Jannah." So, she beautify herself for him. and mentally she prepare herself. Why? Because he may come and have a bad day somewhere, and he may not even, he used to smile, he may not smile. So mentally she prepares, look, I'm not doing it just for him, I'm doing it for Allah. Regardless, he smiled, he frowned, I'm still going to take his shoes off and give him a foot rub, right? And I'm still going to say to him, how you doing, honey? Don't worry, you're home now. Don't worry. Still going to rub his shoulders, give him massage if it's needed, and tell him, don't worry, you're here now, you're in the house. She already, if they have children, she already, half an hour, she sits with the kids before even he comes. Your father is coming back. So you were playing, now he comes home, he needs some quiet time. Look, you're going to settle down. Go read some book. Okay? But I want you all, as soon as your father gets home, you come and give him a kiss. And tell him how much you love him and you missed him. That's a righteous woman. And she's not going to be busy with a phone call. The man came to the house, he spent 45 minutes, she don't even know if he's there. No, it's not good for her. It's not good for her. Or even after that, the husband saying, where you at? She's like, wait. Because she's talking on the phone. No. Half an hour, maybe even more, before this man come home, she make herself ready. Because that's what's going to get her to the Jannah. Or of course, one of the things that are going to lead her to the Jannah. And she talked to him nicely. She smiled in his face. And of course, if a man is a good man, he see his wife doing this for him, he's going to take care of her. He's going to treat her the same way or even better. And that's what's going to bring love, harmony in her marriage, not flowers. When a man catches a soul somewhere, a sale. You know those flowers and the roses that they're for sale? They don't last. That's why they put them on sale. And he think he got like $3.99 for six of them. They didn't even last 6 hours. So he bring them. She knows, some sister they know. You got it from Kroger, right? Oh yeah. How do you know? I'll tell you after 6 hours. They fade. No. Smile. Smile doesn't fade. You can't run out of smiles, man. Can you really run out of smile? Why people are frowning? It's like, why you smile? I just gave the last one 2 months ago. I'm waiting to make some. What do you mean? This is a smile. Smile. It's good. Smile when you get home. To you, with your wife, your children, with your neighbors. Amen. So these are the best of the Ummah, the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim. And the Prophet, the best of mankind. He used to go home and make himself available. Likewise, we go and we make ourselves available. And you ask your wife, how you doing? You okay, alhamdulillah? And you should read her face. Just the way she look at you and she talk at you, you should know that maybe she's because she's giving you signs. And then before, you should say to her, something bothering you? She's like, how do you know? I know you. She looks in your face. You don't have to say something. Man, that means a lot to her. She said, subhanAllah, he really cares. And as the Prophet ﷺ, he said that to Aisha once. He said to her, I know when you're happy with me and when you're angry with me. I know when you're like little miffed. She said, how you know? He said to her, when you're happy, you swear by the name of Muhammad, by the Lord of Muhammad. He said, when you're happy with me and things are going okay, you say by the Lord of Muhammad. But when you're not happy with me, you say by the Lord of Ibrahim. See? She swear, but she say, oh, by the Lord of Ibrahim. So the Prophet ﷺ, now she didn't say by the Lord of Muhammad. Even his one Lord, the same Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Prophet wasn't paying attention to her wordings. And then she said, by Allah, I boycott only your name. So now your wife, if one of us wives, she call you with your nice, beautiful name, Like you're Abu Abdullah, for example. And she always calls you Abu Abdullah when you're happy. And she says, Abu Abdullah, tafaddal ya Abu Abdullah. With a big smile. Abu Abdullah, Abu Abdullah. Then one day she says, Akhi. You know? That means something to you. Don't say, yes, Ukhti, you are right. You should. She's telling you something. She's telling you, look, man, that's something. We want to talk about something here. And then you said, oh, subhanAllah, something in your mind you want to talk to me about? She's like, why? You didn't say Abu Abdullah. Then she's like, subhanAllah. This now, man, he knows. Some of us, man, we just go home. It's like we're roommates. All he cares, is the food ready? Yeah. The bed ready? You iron that? You pay the bills? Yes, pay the bills too. You make those phone calls I tell you? And that's it. And he go to sleep. And he get up in the morning, go to work. No call from work. 10 hours. Some even worse. After work, go to the shop, to the coffee shop, and spend 6 hours with their friends, laughing. Oh, I don't know. Some sister may pass by there because of the meat store, halal meat store. And then she's like, oh, I saw your husband there. Is he what happened? Because the wife, she's already worried. She thinks he's in an accident. No phone calls. Like, no, he's having fun. With a bunch of other men, maybe they are other husbands of other worried wives. See how it is? Now, yeah, you go to work, send a text message on your break. Missed you, I was thinking about you. So. Alright? Why can't you do that? Yes, you do these things. Send a text message, I missed you. You were on my mind. Stuff like this. So she feel like that will... If you only know what that do to her in the house, you're like... She's happy. Oh, let me do this laundry. And that's why you keep her going. Instead to worry about you, now she knows you're doing okay. I'm doing okay, alhamdulillah. I can't wait until I come home. Allahu Akbar. And once you come home, alhamdulillah, you come, this, and you're nice. How you doing? How's today? Did the kids were nice to you? MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. But did you finish the chapter of Kitab Tawheed? Oh, I couldn't finish it. See, these are the questions. Did you make the bills? Did you pay this? Did you finish my this? Some men even, their wives change the oil for their trucks. That's true. Before he go, make sure you've changed the oil. Yes, some sisters do that. Now I'm in some states, I know. They change even the oil, they rotate the tires. That's true. Allah understand. Hey. Of course, he leave the truck and tell her to take it to Jiffy Lube. What do you guys think? Huh? He leave the truck and the keys and she has to go take it to Jiffy Lube, you know? And they do it. They do that stuff. But what are we doing for them? You have to be both. And how are we going to do the right things if you both of us learn Islam? And we're going to live happy. When the husband fulfill his obligations and the wife she fulfill hers, and they doing it for Allah. Because if they doing it for each other, they're gonna do it only when they're happy with one another. Once they got an issue, they're gonna stop. No, if you're doing it for Allah, actually you're gonna keep doing it. Keep doing it. Why? Because you're doing it for Allah. Rabi'an, إن الفطرة في السفر أفضل. لا سيما إذا اقترن بذلك مصلحة من التقوي على الأعداء ونحوه فإن فائدة الصوم تلزم صاحبها أما فائدة الإفطار في مثل ذلك اليوم فإن تتعدى المفطر إلى غيره ومن هنا كان الإفطار أولى. Now the Sheikh mentioned after he says that breaking the fast while on a journey is better, is what he mentioned earlier in a previous class. He says, especially if there is a benefit behind that, give you strength because you're about to do something. You're going on a mission. You're going on a mission and you need to be strong to finish what you're going for. You're not going to tell the people, wait until Maghrib. Can you imagine if a Muslim army, they facing their enemy who transgressing against them? And now they fasting, they meet the enemy by Dhuhr time, they said to the enemy, no, give us until Maghrib. can't do that. You gotta be prepared. That's what the Shaykh says. Even if there is a benefit, especially if there is a maslaha, there is a benefit to get that strength. He says, as for fasting, who benefits from fasting? The person himself. That person who is fasting, he benefited himself. But the one who is not fasting, he benefits others. See how it is? And he gets more reward. Of course, the one who fasted, he benefits only himself. And he gets rewarded. But the one who breaks the fast because he sees there is a need for him to be stronger, to help others, to do some work, things get done. See, he's not just doing things for himself. He's doing it so he can help others and make himself available, have strength to help this one and to make sure this job is done. See, that's why it is better. وَمِنْ هُنَا كَانَ الْإِفْطَارُ أَوْلَى. That for this reason, breaking the fast while on a journey, especially if that journey is a journey for a reason. There is a maslaha, you're going to take care of something that requires strength, okay? Then you break the fast is better. خَامِسًا حَثُّ الْإِسْلَامِ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ وَتَرْكِ الْكَسَلِ فَقَدْ جَعَلَ لِلْعَامِلِ نَصِيبًا كَبِيرًا مِنَ الْأَجْرِ وَفَضْلُهُ عَلَى الْمُنْقَطِعِ لِلْعِبَادَةِ وَفَضَّلَهُ عَلَى الْمُنْقَطِعِ لِلْعِبَادَةِ. Islam, the spirit of religion, incites us to work. Islam, this beautiful religion, incites us to work, to be active, to do that which is good for yourself, your family, your community, your neighborhood, your society. You be active member in your community. Islam is against laziness. Laziness is not from Islam. To be lazy and don't want to do anything, wait for people to do it, this is not from Islam. Islam is against laziness. Gotta be active. Of course, or everyone according to his ability. You don't want to hurt yourself, but you have to be active. You have to find to work to take care of your family. And you gotta like from that portion of work that you do, a portion of it and whatever you make, said this is gonna go to my neighborhood, this is gonna go to my community. And you help. And you make yourself available physically, mentally, financially. You make even your family available. You tell your wife, look, alhamdulillah, of course you take care of us, we are our family, but if the community, anybody, member of the community need anything, I want you to be available, okay? Such an example. For example, this brother married to the sister she went under a major surgery and they kept her in a hospital for a week or two. Now this brother had got to go to work and they have little children. They may have no family around. Now you tell your wife, look, we're taking their children for one day. This brother, his wife, is going to take the children for the next day. This brother, Abdul Qadir, his wife, is going to take his children for the next day. And those who are not taking the children, they cooking. And those who are not cooking or taking care of the children, they already do the laundry for them. Allahu Akbar. See, that's how we do it. This is Islam. Yeah, subhanAllah. That's bring the brotherhood. See, that man, he's going to, subhanAllah, the way he's going to look at us, he's going to change. And especially he says, look, we're doing it for Allah. We don't want nothing from you, brother. This is what brothers do for brothers. Hey now. Sometimes, wallahi, the sister is sick and the brother, the husband don't know what to do. Some husband don't can even cook one egg or two eggs. Doesn't make no difference. If he can't cook one egg, you think he can cook two? Same. Some man cannot even make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He make a mess. Yes, some men, they like that. Can't change a diaper. can't do anything. Don't even know what things are in his house. But that man, one lesson he learned is that he has to appreciate what his wife do for him and his family. I know. Even though she didn't go for a trip and vacation, she's suffering, she's in pain, she's sick, and she couldn't do things. Now he'll see how it is. Now he will appreciate her more. But we need to help each other. Naam, we help each other. Of course, this stuff is easy to say. But what is the application? May Allah have mercy on us. But Islam is a religion of amal, of acting. Take care of your responsibilities. And then you make yourself available to help and assist others. But first of all, you have to take care of your responsibilities. Whatever is your responsibility, that comes first. Your family, your parents, pay your bills. And then you have some extra. Invest it properly for yourself by assisting others, the needy, the poor, and the like. Look now. In this, look at the great reward that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. The great reward for those who did the work. Because the other companions, they were fasting. And they were exhausted because of the long journey, extreme heat, they very thirsty. But still, the great reward for those who did the work for them. They took care of them. Likewise, ikhwan. نَحْتَسِبُ الْأَجْرِ مِنَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Whatever we do the reward for Allah. That's why when you come, you park your car and you pass by an empty can of juice that maybe one of us throw it or fall off. Sometimes we may have a trash in your pocket and you want to like put it in, and it fell off. It's not because people intentionally throw trash in a parking lot. Maybe it fall off. Or maybe some kids did it. You pick it up for the sake of Allah. Not like if we're walking too, I get it. Where I'm walking by myself, I kick it with my foot and keep going. No, I pick it up for the sake of Allah. Because this is the property of the masjid. We want us to look good. Likewise, if you're walking over here, you see somebody drop something, a tissue, whatever, you pick it up for the sake of Allah. And you put it where it belongs. So the one who do these things has virtue over the one who does ibadah that benefits his own self. Now, tafadhal.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
نعم So Islam is a religion that calls us to do actions not only just for us actions that benefit us and benefit others It's not always what's in it for me, 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 no. What's in it for my brothers, for my family, for my community? I give you an example. If you see an old man planting a tree, and that tree don't give fruits until many, many long years, and you would say, why this old man put in this tree? He may not live longer to eat from its fruits, right? But when you ask him, and he tell you, I know that. I may not live longer until I see. But guess what? They plant trees. That's why we're eating the fruits. And we want to plant some that those generations that come after us will be able to eat some fruits as well. See? That's how we work. And that's how communities are destroyed. Because the work become a burden on a few people until they get mad and quit. And those lazy people, they don't want to do anything. That's how community is gone, and society is actually. That's how society is fall apart. Because there's a lot of lazy people who don't. And you may see it in the street. There's a lot of lazy people. They just sit back and want to drink soda and hang in the streets. Who's doing the work? Few people doing the work. Many people, they don't want to get up in the morning early. They don't want to go work. They just want to sit back and get paid. No. Islam doesn't teach us these things. You got to take care of your responsibility. You got to do some work for yourself, for your family, for your community, but everyone according to his ability. Why? Because when you do actions of for others, that's better than when you just do an actions of worship that you benefit only yourself. You see? That benefit only yourself. ثم قال الشيخ وأين هذه من الناعقين الذين يرونه دينا عائقا للعمل والتقدم الرقي قبحهم الله فإنهم يهرفون بما لا يعرفون. After this the Sheikh says, and where are those who they look at Islam as a religion that is against progress? Islam is a religion against progress and against happiness and no. Islam command us to work, to take care of your family, for your community, to take care of anything that bring life, anything that bring progress, everything that bring good, Islam calls us to. Right? As long as it is done in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, we welcome our brother Timothy, alhamdulillah, and we are so happy for he was guided by Allah to Islam, and Allah opened his heart to Islam, and he accepted shahadatain today, alhamdulillah, today, Allahu Akbar. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us good brother for you, Timothy, and we're going to try our best to be there for you, to try to teach you what we know, and inshallah ta'ala, because we're still learning, as you see all these brothers, they come here. It's for us to learn, and inshallah, if you keep coming here, you're going to learn with us. Okay? And we're going to try our best to assist you and help you in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khair, barakallahu fikum. We continue tomorrow, inshallah, as well. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.